All right, let's take our Bibles this evening, open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, as we're continuing our series on the armor of God. And going through the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 here. And we'll begin reading in verse number 10, Ephesians chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse number 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So we've been looking at the armor of God, and again, the emphasis here is on putting on the whole armor of God. He says that in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. And again, in verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. So it's every single piece of the armor we need to be making sure that we're putting on. We've looked at the belt of truth. We've looked at the breastplate of righteousness. We've looked at the shoes of the gospel of peace. Tonight we're looking at the shield of faith. Notice what he says here in verse number 16, above all. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Not saying that this piece is necessarily more important than the others, because he says we need to put on the whole armor of God, but there's an emphasis going to be placed on this piece. He says, above all, take unto you, taking the shield of faith. And so he's saying this shield of faith is so vital in this spiritual battle that we're facing against our foe. Again, remember he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so there is a spiritual battle that is taking place. And God says it's so important for you and I as Christians that we take the shield of faith. We need to take the shield of faith and make sure we're using the shield of faith. Obviously, the shield of faith is not something we put on, right? You don't put on the shield, but it's something that we take. We have to take it with us. If you think about a soldier carrying a shield, they didn't put it on them. It wasn't like the breastplate. It wasn't like the belt, or it wasn't like shoes or anything like that. This was something that they would have to carry. They would carry the shield with them into battle and things. And that's why he says, take unto you, taking the shield of faith. Now we're going to look at a couple things about the shield tonight, and I hope this will be a help to us. But notice, first of all, the purpose of the shield. There is a purpose for the shield. Again, the shield was that the Roman soldiers would use was not a small gladiator-type shield. It wasn't like, a round shield like what you would think of some of the movies or things like this, or Captain America, you know, with the round shield or something like that. These shields that the soldiers would use were almost as tall as the soldiers, right? They were roughly about 4 feet by 2 feet, so they were quite tall and quite wide. They weren't just these round shields or discs. They were made of wood, and of course, then they would be covered with leather, because the enemies would shoot arrows. They would shoot fiery darts that had been dipped in pitch, and then before they would shoot them, they would set them on fire, and then they would shoot them, and of course, not only hoping that the arrow would kill the person, but also that the lighted pitch, the fire would also cause damage to the shields and to everything else that was there. And so it was really a weapon of destruction, this idea of these darts or these arrows being dipped in pitch and set on fire. And then when they would hit, it would almost kind of be like a small explosion, almost like a firebomb that would go off. And so the best protection that a soldier had from these darts or these arrows was a shield. And this is what he says. Note, think about this. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So again, Paul is no doubt thinking of these Roman soldiers, and I don't know if he'd ever seen any of them in battle or anything like that, but it's very obvious that he understood military tactics a little bit because he understood the purpose of the shield and what they were for. And as he's kind of giving us this spiritual armor to put on, he says, the shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So that shield there is to keep those fiery darts from hitting and from hitting us. And so, again, remember, our enemy is Satan, and he has his greatest desire is to try to see Christians that will fail, to get Christians that will stumble, and he throws these fiery darts, he shoots these fiery darts. And in order to be able to survive the attack, he says, we need to take the shield of faith to protect us. Now again, this faith that he says here, taking the shield of faith, this is not saving faith, right? We're not dealing with saving faith here. This is living faith. Look like what we're talking about in Hebrews on Wednesday nights. They're talking about a living faith, right? The just living by faith, okay? Saving faith is the faith that we put in Christ to save us from the judgment of our sins. But the shield of faith is living faith. It's a faith and trust in the promises of the power of God. It's trusting what God has said, right? That shield of faith, believing and trusting God. When you think about it, the devil wants us to question, right? He wants us to doubt. He wants us to question our salvation. He wants us to question whether we can truly be saved or not, right? He wants us to question God's calling on our life. Did God really call you to do that? Is that really what God wants you to do? He wants you to question our worthlessness, right? You know, you're really nothing to God. You're just a created person. God really doesn't care about you. You're not worthy of God's love. You're not worthy of anything that God has done. He wants us to question if we can really serve Him. I mean, think about it. We're talking about the God of the universe. How in the world can you and I, who are sinners, serve the God of the universe? I mean, how are we able to do this, right? He wants us to question if we can really do what God wants us to do. And so there's so many things that the devil is going to try to throw at us, to try to get us to question what God is doing. And we have to have faith that what God says is true. What God says is true. Yes, we can look at ourselves and we can say, boy, I'm not worthy of salvation. And is that not true? We're not worthy of salvation. But did He save us? Did He send His Son to die on the cross for us? Yes, He did. So I may not be worthy, but He still loves me and He still did it, right? I may not be able to serve Him, exactly the way that He wants me to serve Him, because I know I'm still in the flesh and I know I'm going to fall, but does He still want me to serve Him? Yes, He does. And does He know I'm going to fall? Yes, He does. And yet He still wants me to serve Him. You see, the questions and the things that the devil brings into our mind, if we want to get victory of them, we have to go back to the Word of God. What does God say about it? Again, that's what faith is. We're trusting what God has said is true. By the way, isn't that how we got saved? That's how we got saved. We're trusting what God says is true. We're trusting that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We're trusting what God says. We're living by faith. And so the devil, he wants us to get discouraged. He wants us to be depressed. He wants us to be defeated. And that's why it's important that we have the shield of faith and trust in His promises. Romans chapter 14, verse number 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, right? If we're not living by faith, and he says we're not doing what God wants, and therefore we're sinning because we're not living by faith. And so it's important. That's why Hebrews says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, right? God's desire is that we live by faith. And does Satan know our weaknesses? Sure he does. Satan knows exactly where we're weak, and he's going to try to exploit those things. He's going to try and get us to fall where we are the weakest. He knows exactly where we are weak. He knows exactly where we're tempted. He knows where we fall, and that's why he tries to do it over and over and over again. We might get victory over it one day, but what happens? The next day, or maybe a couple days from now, guess what happens? We find that same temptation coming up. Why? Because he knows we're weak there. He knows that's an area where we might fall, and so he's going to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. And that's why he says it's so important to take on the whole armor of God. So what is the shield of faith? The shield that we are to stand behind. What is this shield? He said, take unto you, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, obviously, there's only one person we should stand behind, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that we should stand behind. In fact, it's really interesting, the Greek word that Paul uses here for the word shield is the word thyrios, which actually is translated door. It's translated from the Greek as a door, right? Now, again, obviously, when you think about it, you've got a 4 foot wide or 4 foot tall piece of wood, and it's 2 foot wide. It kind of resembles a door. It's not that round, circular, you know, thing. This was almost like a rectangle, 4 feet by 2 feet. And the Greek word that Paul uses is translated door, and it was called because of its size and appearance, looking like a door. Of course, we know that Jesus says, "I am the door." Amen. Jesus is the door. By me, he says, if any man come in, he can be saved, right? And so we know that Jesus Christ is the door of salvation. But when our faith is in him, then we're able to stand behind him. And as we live by faith, he protects us from those darts. Think about what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So yes, I'm living this life, but I need to be allowing Christ to live through me. I need to be standing behind him. It shouldn't be me that people see, it should be him that people see, right? And think about what the Bible says about this throughout Scripture. In Genesis chapter 15, in verse number 1, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God says to Abraham, I am your shield. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In whom will I trust? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He says, the Lord is my shield. In Psalms 3, verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Psalms 28, 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So think about this. He says he is that shield. We can stand behind him. We can trust him. We can stand behind him knowing that he is going to protect us from these darts, from the enemy here. Again, think about what he says. Wherefore ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God's desire, he says, if we will live by faith and will follow Jesus Christ, right? As I'm following Jesus Christ, then he knows what's going to happen in front of me. I may not be able to see the future. I may not be able to know everything that's coming, but he does. And as I walk by faith and I trust him and I just follow him, he is going to be able to help to quench those fiery darts because I'm living by faith. Let me try to give you an example, right? I need a young person that trusts me. I want to know why none of these teenagers have their hands raised. Okay. I need someone that trusts me. Does anybody know what this is? This is a gel blaster. This is my son's. I love playing with this because I love shooting my sons. Right? This is a great thing. If you don't know, these are little like anybody know what like an Orbi is? You know what an Orbi is? It's like a little ball that's kind of soaks up water and things. And so if I could, I need somebody that trusts me. Their hands are still up. I did not get consent from parents on Brother Jeff, you? Levi's hand is not up. That is true. That is very true. Yes, his hand is not up, right? His hand is not up. Isaac has his hand up. Is it all right if I use Mr. Isaac? Absolutely. All right, Isaac, come on up here. Everybody saw that verbal consent. Now, Isaac, I have a question for you. How much do you trust me?
100%.
100%? That's, I like this kid. Now, Isaac, let's have a scenario here, okay? All right? Isaac, you accepted Christ, didn't you? So you're a Christian, and so God wants you to live by faith, right? So we're gonna play a scenario here. So you're a Christian, okay? And those of you that have ever been in my class or anything like this, you know I love to do this, but I am going to be the devil, okay? Now, I didn't think it'd be wise to bring like a bow and fiery darts and things like that. I didn't think that would probably go over too well tonight. But I did think, you know, this is something that that I can use, and I don't have to worry about fire, you know, fire codes, and I don't have to worry about blood and, you know, things sticking in them. These can, you know, they might leave a little bit of a bruise, right? But that's really nothing of a concern, right? Right? So, Isaac, let me ask you a question. How much do you trust me? 100%. This kid, I'm telling you what. Have you ever shot an Orbi gun, one of these gel blasters? Have you ever been hit by one?
No.
You haven't. So Isaac, I need you to stand right here, okay? All right? Now remember, you're a Christian, right? Who am I? That's not very nice, Isaac. He just called me the devil. Oh, that's right. We're having a scenario here. Right? Now, Isaac, we just read how the Bible talks about how that the devil is trying to shoot fiery darts at Christians, right? But what did the Bible say that we need? What is it that we need? What does he say we're needing? The shield, right? The shield of faith, right? And if we're going to follow the shield, if we're going to have the shield of faith, that means we're wanting to follow somebody. Who are we following? Jesus Christ, right? So I need another volunteer. Who? Timmy. No, I don't think Timmy's going to work. Sorry, Timmy. That's not. All right, Brian, I'm going to have Brian come up here. So you're a Christian, Isaac, right? Remember, who am I? This is the only time you can call me that, okay? All right. Right? It's the only time. So I'm the devil. We're going to let Mr. Brian here be, guess who he's going to be? He's going to be your shield, right? So he's going to represent Jesus tonight, all right? Okay? Now, Isaac, yeah, let's do safety first, right? We need safety first. There we go. Safety first. Sorry, you don't get any, Isaac. Okay, now, Isaac, I'm the devil, right? And I'm going to shoot fiery darts at you. Where's the best place for you to be? Now, Isaac, if I was to shoot right now, you think I could hit you? If you're sticking out like that, you might. If you stay there, so Isaac, I'm gonna shoot a fiery dart at you, and I'm gonna shoot temptation at you. Did you feel that, Isaac? You didn't feel that? Let me see if I can shoot another temptation at you. All right. How about fear? I'm gonna shoot fear at you, Isaac. Did you feel anything, Isaac? You didn't feel any of those? All right. How about if I shoot covetousness at you? He's like, go ahead, I don't care, right? Do you feel that, Isaac? Now, Isaac, what happens if Jesus moves over this way? You're a wise man, Isaac. What happens if the devil moves over this way, Isaac? You're smart, Isaac. In fact, you're so smart, come here, you're smarter than most Christians. Now, by the way, I already knew Brian was going to do this, and he has some extra layers on, okay? He already knew he was going to do this. But you understand, there's no way that I can get to Isaac as long as he's behind the shield. You know why we experience defeat and doubt and fear and failure and covetousness and immoral thoughts and all these things? Because we're not standing behind the shield. We're not behind our shield. We're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're deciding, hey, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I don't need Jesus. And so I'm just going to go out and do whatever I want. And guess what the devil gets ready to do? I'm not going to shoot you. The devil gets ready to say, I'll have my way with him. I'll have my way with her because there's no shield to protect them. And this is why Paul says, taking the shield of faith. This is why God says, above all else, take the shield of faith. Because the shield of faith is something that, here's the thing. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Nobody play with this afterwards, okay, guys? All right. I can just imagine all the kids wanting to come up and grab it. So this is what he's saying. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now here's why. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Imagine the things that the devil is throwing at us, right? Again, fear and doubt and selfishness and disappointment and pride and impurity and all these different things. And he says, hey, if you'll just stand behind the shield of faith, you know what you won't ever have to experience? You won't have to get hit by those things. Isaac didn't get hit by one of those things because he stood behind his shield. He could rest back there. Oh, yeah, he was popping his head out around just for fun to see what was going on. But, hey, when we're dealing with the devil, he says we need to stay behind the shield of faith. And this is why as these Roman soldiers would go out, they weren't just these little bitty round shields. They were these full shields to be able to protect them from the enemy. And we must look to God in faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Walking by faith, following the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And here's why. Now, again, we've looked at the purpose of the shield, but I want you to look at the harmony of the shields. There's a harmony in the shields. Now again, I know Paul says here, take the shield of faith, and it's singular, but there is a harmony with the shields when you think of the Roman soldiers. When the Roman soldiers went out to battle, they did not go alone. They went in groups. They went in companies. They went in legions, right? They went together. There was never a soldier, Roman soldier, going out to battle by himself. And as these soldiers would go out, right? Again, we often think of the shield being used in more like a one-on-one battle. If you're going to do a one-on-one, you don't necessarily want a big shield that's clunky and heavy. You want something light that can maneuver. But in this battle, the shield that Paul is speaking of here, these were these shields that almost looked like doors. And the purpose is to protect the entire body. Look, if you just have one of those round shields, you know, it might protect something, but it's going to expose something, right? Your head's going to be exposed. Your legs are going to be exposed. Something is going to be exposed. But the Roman soldiers, if this was a shield, they could get behind the shield and they could be absolutely protected from the shield. They could be protected from those darts behind the shield. They were used to their full effect, not alone. The full effect of the shield was never used by itself. It was used in conjunction with the shields of those next to them and those behind them. It's interesting, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, it tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. And it's important that we stand together as Christians, just as these soldiers would stand together with their shields to protect themselves from the enemies. But the shields worked best in conjunction. They were used to protect the whole body. But then, as the soldiers would stand beside them, again, and in this illustration, obviously, Brian was standing there, and as Brian moved, Isaac was able to move and follow him. as I moved and trying to get around Brian, it was very easy for Brian to move and keep himself between me and Isaac. But as these Roman soldiers would come and they would try to attack and they would try to go to war, the enemy would shoot these fiery darts. They would shoot these arrows. Well, that's great that you can stand behind a shield, and that's great that there's going to be protection there, but the problem is arrows just don't go straight. Arrows like to go up. If you know, hey, there's somebody that's got a shield right there and you know they're behind them, you're not just going to keep shooting straight at it. You're going to try to go up above it. And this is where the conjunction of the shields would come into place. The Roman legions would be about 4,000 to 6,000 men, and they would act as one body. And as the front row, the front line of Roman soldiers, they would all have a shield. And as they would get close enough and the enemy would shoot these arrows, these darts, these front soldiers would be able to protect themselves from the enemy. But the problem is the arrows from above. If I've got my shield here, I don't have another shield that I can protect from above. And so the soldiers behind would take their shields and raise them up to protect above. The soldiers on the side knew that they were exposed from the side, and so they would take their shields and protect them from the sides. And so they would work as one body protecting each other. Isn't it interesting how the Bible speaks about the church being the body of Christ? Many members, but one body. And do you understand that as these shields would work together, they would be able to protect themselves and those around them from the darts, from the arrows of the enemy. The enemy would shoot not just in front, but they would shoot thousands of arrows above to try to attack and to kill these Roman soldiers. Your shield is important. You need to be behind the shield of faith, but can I tell you this evening, your shield is not just important to you. It's important to the person next to you. It's important to the person behind you. Right? You understand what I'm saying? If you look around tonight, if you look at the people just around you this evening, you can say, well, they're sitting over there, I'm sitting over here. That might be true, but in this spiritual battle, we are to be working as one body. And your spiritual shield is not just important to you, but it's important to them as well. You need their protection. We have this idea, we don't need anybody. We don't need the church, we don't need believers, we don't need anybody. No, friend, you don't know how important it is for you to have the church. You don't know how important it is to have other believers that are going into this battle with you, because you might be focused on the enemy in front of you, but hey, let me tell you something, the enemy's not stupid. He might understand, hey, you're focused on here, so what's he going to do? He's going to come at you from the sides. He's going to come at you from behind. He's going to come at you from above. And that's why it's so important that we work together as the body of believers. And this is where sometimes we don't like other people helping us sometimes, right? Because, I mean, hey, you know, I'm a soldier on the end here, and I'm protecting myself from in front. But while I'm protecting myself in front, man, I've got a really nice view of the side here. I can look at the scenery, and I can look up above, and I can see the blue sky, and I can see how beautiful it is. And all of a sudden, a soldier behind me puts that shield up above, and I get mad. How dare you put that shield up there? How dare you cover the view that I had? I was looking at a beautiful blue sky and you put a shield above me. How dare you put that shield next to me? Man, I was enjoying the view. I was enjoying the scenery. It was so beautiful out there. How dare you put that up? And we have no idea that they were simply trying to protect us from the arrows of the enemy. You young people that your parents bring you to church and you have a Christian home, can I say you ought to be so thankful for them? You ought to be so thankful that you have parents that are watching out for you. And sometimes you may not understand why they're putting that shield up and why they're trying to protect you and why they're trying to keep you safe. And we get mad and we grumble and we think, hey, I can do what I want to do. I mean, after all, I'm a teenager. I know what's best for me. You'd be very thankful for your parents. that are willing to put that shield up and protect you. And even though you may not like it at the moment, you may not think that your freedom is at stake or whatever, but what they're trying to do is simply protect you. They're trying to watch over for you because they see the enemy trying to attack you. And I tell you, it's amazing how he uses this illustration of these soldiers and how they would work together, the shield not only being important to themselves, but also to those around them. We don't realize the importance of being in church, the fellowship, and good Christian relationships. We get mad if a Christian says, "Hey, I'm concerned about you. Maybe I haven't seen you in a little bit or something, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you." We get upset about that. We might get upset and say, "Well, who do you think you are? You think you're better than I am?" Wait a minute. Maybe they're simply trying to protect us. Maybe they've been able to see some arrow that an enemy is trying to shoot at us, and they're trying to say, "Hey, I'm going to put my shield up, and I'm going to try to protect you." It's not just you having to protect yourself, that we are able to help one another and bear one another's burdens. And this is why he says this shield of faith is so important. We can either stand together and face this enemy and get victory over him, or we can try to be the Lone Ranger and go out by ourselves and be defeated and be struck again and again and again and again and again. We can try to say, "Well, I don't need anybody else. I don't need the church. I don't need my parents telling me what to do. I don't need my youth leader. I don't need my pastor. I don't need these people helping me in my life. I can do it myself." Isaac, are you glad you're able to stand behind Brian? You see, when we decide that we don't need to follow the Lord, we don't need that shield of faith, that's when it becomes dangerous. Because we think we've got it figured out. We think we're on our own. God says, "No, you don't understand. You understand we have an enemy. The devil is going to try to do everything he can to attack us. And we need help. We need help." I was giving Miss Betty we were kind of joking around this morning. She looked up. She said, "I didn't know you were going to be here." She said, "I thought I got my dates mixed up. I thought you guys were going to be out in Nevada this week. I didn't realize it was next week." She said, "I already prayed for you this morning as you were preaching 5 times today." I said, "Well, that's wonderful. Will you do it again next week? Because I'm going to need it then." Hey, can I tell you, we need each other. We need one another. We're not just out there doing it by ourselves. We can't just be the Lone Ranger and say, "Hey, I don't need anybody else. No, I'm going to get it myself." No, we need one another to help us and encourage us and protect us. Man, it wasn't next week, but you don't know how encouraging that was that she said that to me this morning. She got the date mixed up, but that's okay. What a blessing it was to know that there was somebody that was praying for me, even though it's going to be next week. But hey, I was praying for you this morning. We need one another. We need, each of us needs to take our shield of faith, right? And I could do it tonight, but I'm not going to, but we could take all these young people and we could get somebody to stand in front of them. We could say, "Hey, you stand behind that shield of faith, and as long as you stand behind the shield of faith, you're going to be protected." But once you get out from behind that shield, you're in danger. And we wonder why we get discouraged. We wonder why we get defeated, and we wonder why it just seems like we can't get victory over things. Maybe it's because we're not staying behind the shield of faith. Maybe we're not following the Lord. Maybe we're not being obedient to what he wants us to do. It's like what we talked about this morning. Yeah, we know what he says, but we're not doing it. And what good is it? What good is it if we're not going to do it? What good is it? We say, "Oh yeah, I know the shield of faith is important. I know, man, I sure wish I could get victory over these things. I sure wish I wasn't defeated all the time. I sure wish I wasn't discouraged." God says, "Wait a minute, I gave you the shield of faith. It's there. Stand behind it." Now, if Isaac would have said, "Hey, I'm not going to stand behind Brian," and Isaac gets shot, guess whose fault that was? It wasn't Brian's fault. Guess whose fault it was? It was Isaac's. Because he chose not to stand behind the shield. And we get defeated, and we have those arrows, we have those fiery darts that the devil is throwing at us, and we get hit by them. Can I tell you something? It's not God's fault. It's ours, because we've decided we don't need him. We don't need that shield of faith, because this is what he says. Please look at what he says. "Wherewith ye shall be able to quench," what is that next word? How many? "All the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't know how many of those little orby things are in there, but I could have shot and shot and shot and shot and shot, and as long as he stood behind Brian, not one of them would have hit him. Not one. There could be hundreds in here. And I could have shot and shot and shot and shot, and not one of them would have hit Isaac. As long as he stands behind the shield. He said, if we'll just put on the whole armor of God, and we'll take the shield of faith, and this is what's amazing about this, right? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You want to get victory? You want to be able to get victory over those things that the devil's disturbing you with and getting you down and discouraged and those temptations and things? He said, here's how. Take the shield of faith. Walk by faith. Follow Jesus Christ. Trust him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him take control. Let him take care of those darts. Let him take care of those things. Are you allowing the enemy to hit you because you aren't behind the shield of faith? Are you allowing those darts to hit those that you should be protecting? You see, there are some times that some might get hit because we didn't protect them. We didn't raise our shield when we should have to protect them. We didn't cover them with our shield to protect them. Are we allowing others to get hit because we're not protecting them? He says, above all, look, we know the darts are coming. We know it. And thank God for the belt of truth, and thank God for the breastplate of righteousness. Thank God for all these things, but there's one piece here. He says, you can just stand behind, you can trust it. The shield of faith. And you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Do we want victory? We know we have an enemy. And this is why he says, put on the whole armor of God. Maybe tonight, maybe this is the shield of faith that we need to be looking at. And saying, hey, in my life, I'm not living by faith. I'm not walking by faith. I'm not trusting God. I'm not staying behind the shield like I should. And whenever the devil keeps shooting those darts, it just seems like he's hitting me all the time. It just seems like I can't get any victory. There just seems like I'm just like a wide open target. I wonder why. Maybe because we're not behind the shield of faith. We're not following the Lord. We're not trusting him. Hey, Brian moved, and Isaac did a very smart thing. Isaac moved. And I moved to get around Brian, and Isaac did a very smart thing. He moved. He kept the shield between him and me. We need to keep the shield between us and our enemy. The shield of faith. We need to keep walking by faith and trusting God and allowing him to lead us so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, how important this is, the shield of faith, to truly look to you and trust you. Lord, you are our shield. Over and over in Scripture, we see you are our shield. Lord, you want to protect us. You want to watch out for us. Lord, if we don't stand behind you, if we don't trust you, if we're not willing to live by faith, we become an open target for the enemy. Lord, maybe there are some parents that need to recognize how important it is for them to keep protecting their children with their shields. Lord, some church members, some people in the church to recognize how important it is that we look out for one another and protect one another with our shields. Lord, we need you because we know the devil is not going to stop attacking. Our enemy is not going to stop. And we need to walk by faith, and we need to keep that shield of faith between us and our enemy. Lord, I pray you'd help us in this. Lord, maybe we thought we don't need the church, and we don't need the church family, and we don't need anybody else. We can do it on our own. Lord, help us to realize that we can't. we're leaving ourselves open for the attack of the enemy. So, Father, I pray you to help us as Christians to put on the whole armor of God. Not just one piece, but put on the whole armor of God, and that we would live by faith and walk by faith, standing behind that shield of faith, to be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Lord, help us in this. We need you. We cannot do this without you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just going to stand quietly tonight. The piano is just going to begin playing softly this evening. Tonight, maybe there's something that God is speaking to your heart about. Maybe it's some parents saying, hey, I need to be protecting my children.